Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Soul podcast, episode number 12, titled Managing Constraints. My name is Jose Franco. I am the owner of Stoop Juice, an organic juice bar on 15th Street, 7th Avenue in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I've been coaching travel baseball since 1995. In 2009, I was asked to help coach a 15U travel baseball team halfway through the season by the organization's president, with the help of the previous coach, who stayed on as an assistant. The team had many talented athletes, but most of the players lacked discipline. To introduce my approach to the team, prior to my first game as head coach, I met with players and their parents to introduce myself and review my system, which addressed the importance of punctuality, respect for the game, and the consequences of not following rules. I organized game lineup based on arrival time and required those who were late to run extra sprints for that first game. We won that game, and every player showed up on time for the next one. That group in 2009, I think the biggest constraint was that I didn't put the group together, making past promises by the original coaching staff unrealistic under my style of leadership. Despite that team winning 40 of 45 games I coached, only 3 of the 20 players returned to play for me the following year. I do not fault them for this, since I was imposed upon them by the organization's president, and the 17 players who left were unable to grasp how I handled team tryouts. My system calls for continuous tryouts throughout the season to discourage complacency, and all playing time was earned based on merit and ability. In 2010, the next season, my biggest constraint was filling an additional 12 to 14 team slots with players willing to play on a merit-based system team. My system is what I think are the most effective techniques to teach the game of baseball the right way, while modeling constructive behavior and teaching useful life skills with universal applications. For instance, my three-step system for identifying constraints on the team are as follows. The first step, I look to identify the team's weakest link. I would assess whether I was working as efficiently as I could and what was getting in my way, while also taking into account intangible factors such as ineffective communication, restrictive team policies, double standards, or poor team morale. During tryouts, to avoid this, I would meet with each player and explain the role I envisioned for them to promote clear transparency. Those players who disagreed that had the skill set to play on the team would opt to play elsewhere, and those who were talented enough and agreed to their role made the teams. As the season progressed, if a player had second thoughts about their assigned roles, I would remind them of how important their role is to the overall team. Despite that, there were times players would whine about playing times. In those instances, I'd ask the players if they'd completed preparation drills I designed for each player to help players perform to the best of their abilities. And that also required a lot of work. This way, it's the practice component of baseball, which is huge if you want to play baseball at an elite level. There was one exception that happened during a Florida trip. It was a tournament. One of the parents complained to me about his child's playing time. What I did was I encouraged the dad to ask his son what his son had agreed to regarding to his team's role or his role on the team. The dad didn't want to listen to what I had to say. He got so upset enough to complain to the organization's director. However, the director took my side, and 15 minutes later, the kid quit the team, and both the dad and the kid checked out of the team motel at 1 in the morning. Upon reflection, I probably could have done a better job at listening to the dad's concern. Today, I probably take the same position, but I'd be more aware of my tone, my demeanor, my body language while expressing myself. The 2010 baseball team I coached played over 135 games with a winning percentage of 83%. This is pretty amazing when you consider that 85% of those games, I had these kids playing up. They were playing against kids that were 18 years of age and older. We won several important 16U tournaments and finished second in three regional 18U tournaments. Rebuilding the team was a challenge, but ultimately that produced the results that I desired. That same year, while all this was going on, I recognized that I also needed to rebuild some components of my professional life as well. I saw a parallel between my career in jewelry sales and the 2009 baseball team I coached for half a season. Despite the 2009 team having a winning record, I was unable to keep the team together because I did not have a hand in the selection process. I had experienced the most joy from the 2010 team, which I assembled from scratch. In terms of jewelry, my business remained profitable, not so much because of sales, but more because of the appreciation of my inventory that appreciated respectively 40, 50 to 75% for three subsequent years. The problem or the issue was that sales were down, inventory value was appreciating, but customers could not justify buying a bracelet that they priced a year earlier for a certain price and the following year was 40% more, while at the same time a giant screen TV that was $2,000 a year before was now $900 and less expensive than the bracelet. This phenomenon affected my entire business and I had to act fast since my inventory was 90% gold business. I made the decision to quit the jewelry business after briefly considering but deciding against starting a full-time for-profit baseball camp. I started a business I was very passionate about and still am to this day back in 2012. That business is Stoop Juice. Back in 2011, I lost 70 pounds in 120 days after experiencing a paradigm shift in how I saw myself in relationship to external things. My realization that I will always be both my own best friend and worst enemy are with me every day, which helps me stay modest, humble, and receptive to learning new things. My confidence today comes from managing my internal uncertainties while offering value to my customers. So, the point that I'm making with managing constraints is things will always be thrown and things will always come up that are not as planned. And when they come up, I think it's always best to address things systematically through communicating and always go for your weakest link first. And deal with transparency, communication, deal with the elephant in the room. Talk and address the issues that need to be addressed. This way, you can resolve and get to the bottom of things. Sometimes you are going to talk about things that make you uncomfortable, and you're going to have to make decisions that may not be in line with what you wanted, but it's better to address these things earlier than later because you can minimize the damage and you can make the needed change to run more efficiently and just have your operations running smoothly, and that will help you manage and operate your situation a lot better. Again, my name is Jose Franco. The title of this podcast was Managing Constraints. I hope this helps you as much as it helps me. This is something that I will loop and listen to. I hope this is something you find useful. And until next time, and thank you for taking your time to listen to our podcast today.